Jackson School Springs. It's the pregame show. Again, we are waiting to see what the injury report officially is going to be for the Titans, because the inactives are not yet out. What that means is we're keeping an eye on Christian Fulton. I think Josh Dobbs, and TD is going to join us in just a little bit. TD put up a video of Treylon Burks out there on the field. I think Treylon Burks is a go. Vrabel said he thought he'd be fine. I'm not worried about Burks. Fulton is who I'm worried about in this game.
I wouldn't play him.
What?
I mean...
You're going to put Trey Avery out there?
No, it's his hamstring, right? It's hamstring, right?
I think it's hamstring groin-ish.
If he's not even close to being healthy, how long is he going to last?
Yeah, but how? I don't know what he is or isn't.
If
he's active, he plays. Mm-hmm. But how, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's how I feel about it. I ain't putting Trey Avery out there if I don't have to. Now, here's another thing. If the Titans lose tonight, and most people outside the city of Nashville think the Titans are going to lose, they are a touchdown underdog tonight. If they lose, I think we're going to see massive changes. Probably before I hit the air on Monday at 2 o'clock. Probably right as Derek hits the air at 10 a.m. Or 11 a.m. now, yeah. I guess. I think we're going to see some pretty massive changes.
What do you think?
I think Vrabel keeps his job.
Of course.
The people that think that Vrabel is completely clear of the hot seat, I don't totally believe. But I do think that Vrabel's not going to get fired.
Why?
I do think that Vrabel is going to have to make staff changes. And I think that we could see Todd Downing probably go. I think we could see Keith Carter, the line coach, go, even though that may not be fair. You guys know how this league works.
Yeah.
Fair is not fair. Nobody cares about fair. The special teams coach, I think, is gone. I think there would probably be some defensive staff changes. And then the players.
Yeah.
You know, what's the future of the organization? Is it Henry and Tannehill? Is it not Henry and Tannehill? They both have contracts the team can get out of after this year. And if you're not going with Henry and Tannehill, then what's the point of keeping the other veteran players that are on this team that could probably fetch the Titans a decent return and make a lot of money? So if they lose, Derek, there could be huge ramifications for this franchise going forward.
Yeah, I think so. I think if they win, I think there's still going to be changes, because unless they make it to the Super Bowl, I think you have to make changes, you know, within the personnel and within the coaching staff. But if they lose, I think Monday morning is not going to be good for a lot of people.
I think, Chris, there's a big difference, though, between like a micro change, like the personnel, because mm-hmm. personnel changes every year and certain things. And the macro changes.
This is going to be a macro change.
The philosophy is different.
Minus the head coach. Yes. It's going to be a macro change.
Yes.
A micro change.
But you said something that was so profound, and I was listening to what you were saying. You said, okay, if they lose the game, would you keep Simmons? And you said, no, you could let him go and get more draft picks. And as I think about it, if you're talking about, you know, letting coaches go and letting players go and starting from scratch, then that maybe that's something that they do.
Well, you asked me if they were going to blow the team up. And I said, if they blow the team up, like there's an idea that fans have of, you know, let's blow up the team.
You
got to trade Simmons.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that. Well, that's what blowing
that's
what up
I
the mean. Team
if
is.
You, if you dismantle this team, why on God's green earth is Jeffrey Simmons going to want to stay
mm-hmm.
and get a new? He don't want to stay through a rebuild, mm-hmm. you know. He's a guy that came into the NFL on a winning team. You think he wants to, you know, sit there and sit around while his team is learning how to win?
Yeah.
No. That's why I don't think this team will make moves personnel-wise. I think first and foremost, you need to make some decisions as far as your coaches. Do you bring your quarterback coach back? Do you bring your offensive line coach back? Do you bring your secondary coach back, special teams coach back? And then you get to the players. Okay, if we still want to be competitive, we got to keep Tannehill. We got to keep Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else, Taylor Lewan, you got to go. You've been
Robert
great
Woods.
For us. Robert Woods, you got to go.
Bud Dupree,
you got to go.
Cunningham,
you got to go. Even you have to really think about Kevin Byer in mm-hmm. that position.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. Maybe he takes a pay cut and rework his deal and take a pay cut. So he can stay on the team. But if he doesn't, you can't justify keeping him as well. So there's going to be a lot of moves.
Yeah,
made.
I mean, it's going to be interesting, especially if they lose. And, you know, just like you said, it could be coaches, players, you know, whatever it is. But if you're talking about starting over, then you're going to have to make some tough decisions. But we don't know who the general manager is. Yeah. So how are they going to make the decisions to get players or coaches let them go?
Well, and that's another thing about tonight's game. I have a pretty good idea who the general manager is going to be next year.
Variable?
Yes. But if you lose tonight,
true.
Does the owner change her thought process of, I thought this was my coach. He lost 7 games in a row. I mean, we had this division sealed. We fired the general manager when we did because we didn't want to win the division and then not be able to fire our general manager who's won 3 straight division titles. That's why we fired him. And then we didn't win another game after that. And wow. Now I'm going to put him in charge. So this is what I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. And it's like you asked me, what do I think is going to happen? I have no idea what they're thinking. I have no clue what the Titans are thinking. If it were up to me, if I own the team, I'm running it back with Henry and Tannehill, and on we go.
Absolutely.
You know, I like, you know, changes, yes. Bud Dupree gone. Taylor Lewan gone. Robert Woods gone. But, like, as far as, like, Henry, Tannehill, Byard, Simmons, no. But that's if I own the team. I don't know what she's thinking. And, again, I said this after the Eagle game on the Monday after they got hosed by Philadelphia. And I said, in organizations that are kind of unstable, that is the kind of game that gets a coach fired. And I was talking about, like, other organizations.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, they fired the general manager. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with this organization.
Well, when you decide to, you know, fire your GM with 7 games left, then anything after that is okay. Nothing's off limits. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There's not like, oh, that guy, there's no way she's going to trade. She's going to want to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. That coach, there's no way they're getting rid of that coach. Mm-hmm. Well, she just told you that, listen, if I got rid of the GM with 7 games left, I get rid of anybody else that I deem not fit for the job, whether that be players or coaches. So at the end of the season, this team will be evaluated, I think, based upon the last 7 games. Because in her mind, well, at least the last 5, because in her mind, she fired the GM. Now let's see what y'all do. Y'all couldn't even rally around that and win 1 game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now everybody, even the head coach, he may not get fired, and I don't expect him to, and he shouldn't, but it's not like he's sitting there comfy and cozy in front of the fireplace watching television.
Yeah.
No, he needs to recognize, too, that, listen, if we don't get this thing turned around next year, I am not going into a new stadium 2 years after that with this same old group. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and could that same situation happen with Mularkey to where they ask him to get rid of some coaches, but he doesn't do it? Could he be fired just like Mularkey?
I'm
not saying
so.
It might happen. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't think so. I think Vrabel's too popular for her to be able to do that with the
unless
way that
go
he
get
has.
Sean Payton's still out there.
Well,
Broncos still out there.
Have gotten permission from the Saints to interview Sean Payton. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with that. No. But, again, I don't know what she's going to do. I will say this. I think if they lose tonight, I think Todd Downing – I'm on the air at 2 o'clock on Monday.
Uh-huh.
I think Todd Downing's gone by then. I think his office
There's
is completely
a high possibility.
Cleaned out by the time I'm off the air. And honestly, if it's not, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
Mm.
I mean, I think Todd
what
Downing –
What if he calls a great game and they still lose?
Still got to go.
Okay.
It's the 30th ranked offense in the NFL.
You're consistent with it, so hey.
It's the 30th ranked offense. He hadn't done anything to keep it.
No, you're right.
So, and then he had one good game this year, and then he got a DUI, coming back after it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't have that now.
Huh?
Coming up next, we again are awaiting the injury report as far as who's in and who's out. And again, we're keeping our eyes on 2 names in particular, Treylon Burks and Christian Fulton. And we are awaiting for that. TD will join us live from TIAA Bank Stadium in Jacksonville. We will get to that with Teron Davenport. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are all over the Raiders 24-6. No real reason to even look at that game. We're live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jaguars out today for the Titans. Corner Devontae Harris, safety Mike Brown. Don't ask me. I have no idea who that is. And defensive lineman Naquan Jones, which means Christian Fulton, Treylon Burks, both active today for the AFC South showdown with Jacksonville. TD is at TIAA Bank Stadium in Jacksonville. It's one of his favorite stadiums in the league, and he joins us now. TD, let's start with Fulton. Have you seen him out on the field so far? And if you have, what does he look like, and what do we know about the hamstring and groin that Fulton has been dealing with?
You got that cricket phone, man.
Not really. Oh,
we might have to get TD back.
Yeah,
once he clears up.
Okay, all right, we'll try back on TD. I'm sitting there, you know, TIAA Bank Stadium. They say that this is like the biggest game that they're having in Jacksonville. Honestly, maybe everybody's on their cricket phones, and it's taking up all the, you know, wavelength to get through a TD. But I am fascinated about how Fulton looks on the groin and the hamstring, because I do think Fulton being out would limit what they'd be able to do as far as covering these above average receivers the Jags have.
Yeah, my worry is that, you know, he starts off the game and say he plays a quarter, maybe even a quarter, maybe even two. But then when they need him, he's not out there because he's aggravated that hamstring or that groin. That would be, I think, the Titans' worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're up a significant amount of points, then they can just run the football. But if they are, if it's a battle, or if they're behind, then they end up losing Fulton. With Molden not being there already, some other guys going down, I think it's going to be really hard for the Titans to recover. There's one thing for a guy not to play completely, because you've already game planned around it.
Mm-hmm.
But to game plan for a guy, then he plays a little while, then he's out.
Then you're sticking in Trey Avery or Greg Maven.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it does more harm than good.
You know, if I'm the offensive coordinator of the Jaguars and I see Fulton out there, I'm testing him right away. Okay, go ahead, TD.
TD's with us. TD, what have you seen out of Fulton?
Yeah, actually, he's right in front of me, stretching out, doing some different things to get that groin loose while the other DBs are going through their you know, backpedal drills and those things. So, I mean, he came out, and he's active, so they got some fresh cleats on, too. I gotta give him that.
TD, how's Treylon Burks look? We saw him pop up on the injury report with a groin. He's active. Vrabel made it sound like that he was going to ultimately be okay for this game. How's he looked in warm-ups?
Yeah, he actually went through and he caught some passes. He typically doesn't do much pregame-wise, but, you know, he tested it out, and, you know, we'll see how that thing goes. He's another one that's active, so that's a good thing. And, I mean, earlier in the week he said that, you know, this is the type of game that he dreamed about. So I don't think that he was going to, you know, allow the groin to have him not be able to play. Now, how much he's able to go and do, that remains to be seen.
Now, TD, Joshua Dobbs, he looked great. He looked pretty good last game, considering what we saw the prior game. How does he look in warm-ups? You know, because obviously I know that with another week in this system, he should be a little bit more confident in what he's doing out there.
Yeah, and that's what I would expect from him, more confidence and just being able to progress through even better. And I think, you know, when you have that game on tape and you could go back and watch yourself actually executing the things that they're asking you to do, it's much easier to go ahead and, you know, evaluate and learn from him. And that's what he's going to do. I mean, watching him out here, he definitely had, like, confidence. There's a different look in his eye coming into the stadium than it was last week, before the Dallas game. You know, he had like a look of hesitance, it almost seemed like. But this, you know, he looked like he was ready to go do some things coming into the stadium. So that's a good thing.
Now, Jeffrey Simmons, obviously, we talked about him earlier, TD. I think Jeffrey, if he wants to get the big money that he believes he deserves, this is the game, or these are the games that he has to really step up as a player. Not that he hasn't, but he has been hampered with that ankle. But this needs to be a game that Jeffrey Simmons really shows up as a big-time player.
Absolutely. This has to be a game for him to step up. And these are the games where, you know, you want that franchise-changing money. You got to make game-changing plays in these type of games. So that's definitely something that you want to see him do.
You know, I want to piggyback a little bit off Dobbs. You know, last week Dobbs threw for 232 yards, but he had some drop balls. What do the receivers need to do to really not put a lot of pressure on Dobbs but make the play and make this simple for Dobbs?
Catch it.
Yeah, they got to catch it. But, you know,
but what else can they do?
help me help you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So you look at some of the passes, and I know, you know, Rocky Top Nation, you know, the Volunteers fans, you can't talk bad about Josh Dobbs, but look, man, he needed to make some of those balls a little more catchable. But at the same time, as a receiver, you get your hand on the football, you got to catch it. Like, there's no excuse. You know what I mean? So that's something that has to happen. And, I mean, you got to make plays for your quarterback, especially if it's his second start. Man, this is for the AFC South Division title. You know what I mean? So if you're not out here making plays in this type of atmosphere, I don't know if you really cut out for it. So they better step up.
You know, just looking at Chig, man, Chig is, every time Chig catches the ball, he does something explosive. Last week, he was 6 for 44 yards in the TD. What does Downing need to do to make sure he gets the ball in his hands?
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, the screens, that's something. He's a guy, honestly, like, look, I pulled out all the punches. Give him an end around in those type of situations. You know what I mean? Quick passes. Allow him to, you know, win the matchup. You know, him going against 33, Devin Lloyd, that's I think they can win that matchup. You know, him against their safeties, I think they can win those matchups. So I think it's all about creating them and making them work that way.
TD, one matchup that Coach Shoup highlighted for me is he thinks the Titans should stay away from Tyson Campbell in this game, the DB for Jacksonville. What do you think of that, and what did you think of him in the first go-round that these two teams played?
Man, I had a first-round grade on Tyson Campbell, frankly, so I definitely think highly of him. He's a long corner. He can run. You know, he has the cover skills, so I think when you look at that, I mean, getting him matched up with Burks, you know, that's going to help the Jaguars in their mind, but I think that could help the Titans too. So, I mean, I would look at that matchup. I wouldn't go away from it. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
You got to go to your guys, whoever is on them.
TD, last one for you. In the inactives, there's a safety by the name of Mike Brown who's inactive today for the Titans. Who is Mike Brown?
Yeah, Mike Brown is a safety they signed after Andrew Adams got injured. So he's been there a couple weeks.
I knew TD would know. TD, great stuff. We look forward to your breakdowns. Great hit on SportsCenter this morning, by the way, TD. And we'll see you soon.
Oh, for sure. Appreciate it. Hey, Mookie Blaylock, enjoy the game.
TD at TIAA Bank Stadium in Jacksonville. So
yes.
I will say this about what he said. He said Fulton's stretching it out. All the other DBs are working on their backpedaling and everything else, and he's stretching it out. Should I be nervous?
Yes.
Because, I don't like being nervous.
I mean, because the thing about it is, if you can't warm up, then how are you going to really play the game? I mean, I understand you're stretching it. That's great. But what all of a sudden they run a go route, how's that hamstring or groin going to hold up? And that's the concern that we got to really, really, really understand.
Well, I expect the Titans to be, even though it's not going to be advantageous for them, I expect them to be in zone defense just because of one of those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't want to completely leave him by himself, where if they do run a go route, then he has to open up and turn.
Yeah.
And risk the possibility of re-injuring that groin and that hamstring. So expect to see them in a lot of zone defense, whether they disguise the zone or not. I just believe they're going to be on a lot of zone defense.
If they're in zone defense, you know what that means?
Run the ball.
Get those hands up at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Second,
I think even if they play zone defense, I think they will do a good job at stopping the run.
Yeah.
But it's just stopping the pass.
But other than Saquon Barkley in the second half of the first game, I feel like Titans have stopped the run pretty well all year.
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm not worried. ETN is the kind of back.
He's good.
He's kind of like Henry. You know, not when Henry's at his best. When Henry's at his best, it's, you know, 6, 4, 7.
27. You know what I mean? ETN does not do the 6 and the 4s. ETN does the 1s and the 2s and the 39s.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like they've got to keep from happening. I cannot tell you how I'm sitting up here. I got two former NFL wide receivers. You were an all-pro. You were on the all-rookie team. Here you guys are talking to TD, and you say to TD, yeah, I know they've been dropping the ball. What can the receivers do to help them? Hey. I'm like, I don't know. Catch it?
Catch the football.
I mean, I don't know.
I wanted him to explain to the listeners.
First
man.
And foremost, get open, then catch
there
the football.
There you go. That's what I wanted to say.
I mean, I don't know what it was like for you guys when you thought about what you could do to help your quarterback, but I have to assume that catching the ball was somewhere up there on the list.
I think that was number one. And the other one was be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there.
Yep.
See? Plain and simple.
If the Titans go zone, that means they're trading short completions for headaches.
They got a tackle, man.
And they're anticipating that the Jaguars can't methodically move the ball down the field without making a mistake. Mm-hmm. And that's yet to be determined.
I think they probably can.
I think they can, too.
Coming up next, picks to click. Who's got a click today for the Titans to beat the Jacksonville Jags? We are live at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. It's the pregame show. One last pick to click, unless we've got the playoffs. 102.5, 106 through the game. Picks to Click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Guys, it feels like we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
And when we do these picks to click,
we
brag about them the next week. It's like, oh, I picked Johnny to pick the click. And then the problem is that they've lost the last 7 or whatever games in a row. Mm-hmm. So we've been picking to click for all these. They've been losing every game, so it's no fun anymore. But
thanks.
The show must go on.
Absolutely.
The picks must be made.
He's only
win and you are in.
All right.
Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Who's your pick to click on offense for the Titans?
I'm going to go with Treylon Burks. And the reason I'm going with Burks is because he has to be big on the perimeter. They're going to try to stop Derrick Henry and load the box on the perimeter. He's going to have to make some plays. I mean, even if you just throw it up and let him jump up there and make some plays, just like what he did against the Green Bay Packers, he has to be big in this game because they're going to load the box, try to stop the run. He's got to make some plays on the perimeter.
To me, it's the quarterback. Everything falls on the quarterback. You know, because the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to do whatever possible to stop Derrick Henry. So if that is indeed the case, then Joshua Dobbs has to make plays on the outside, whether it's one or two plays or three or four plays. He has to give the Titans the ability to throw the ball down the field. If he doesn't, the team is going to continue to load up to stop Derrick Henry. So for me, Joshua Dobbs, he started off good last week. I think this week he needs to double down and play even better.
So I'm breaking the rule of pick to click.
Oh, you can't pick Derrick Henry.
I am picking Derrick Henry. And I'm going to tell you why I'm picking Derrick Henry. Because Derrick Henry is the highest paid running back in the league.
Uh-huh.
The Titans are 7-point underdogs on the road at Jacksonville. Nobody outside of Nashville, Tennessee, thinks that the Titans are going to win this game. And so this is where the big players, the big money guys, this is where they are paid to produce. And so I look at Derrick Henry, and I say, you are the big money guy. You're the highest paid back in the league. You've got to carry this team like he did in that playoff run a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. When they went to New England, and everybody said, oh, well, you know, New England, they're going to take away what you do best. And Derrick Henry, they didn't have an answer for. He ran all over the Patriots. And then after watching him run all over the Patriots, the Ravens said, oh, well, we're too physical for Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry's throwing Earl Thomas out of the building. Derrick Henry was unstoppable. People say he was stopped the AFC Championship game. He had 62 yards at halftime. The game got away. But people forget, Titans were in a win and in that last game of the year against the Texans, and Derrick Henry ran for 250 yards. Derrick Henry has this in him. Plus, he has killed the Jags in the past. Remember the game that saved Derrick Henry's career? The Titans had tried to trade him reportedly at the 2018 trade deadline. And on a Thursday night football game, Derrick Henry went for 238 yards against Jacksonville, a 99-yard touchdown, tying an NFL record with Tony Dorsett, saved his career. And so he's done it against Jacksonville. He's from Jacksonville. He's the highest paid back in the league. and he's the only good player on the offense.
You know what the difference is? That offensive line is not as good as they were back then.
I know. And I heard you talking the
other day.
They're
awful.
I heard you talking the other day, and you said that he's never run well behind this line, except he did run well until he fumbled against the Texans 2 weeks ago with this backup offensive line in there. And I know it's not a good offensive line, but they pay you the money. You know what I mean? When you played wide receiver, they paid you the money. It didn't matter how good the quarterback was. Yeah. They looked at like, hey, we're paying Derek $10 million. Derek better catch ball. That's how I feel about this. This one is on Derek Henry. Everybody else has to do their job. I don't want any drops from Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. I don't want, you know, any blindside sacks for fumbles from Dennis Daly. I don't want any quick moves beating Nicholas Petit-Ferrer to the inside. I don't want anything like that. But if someone's going to have to click for them to win, it's got to be Derek Henry. And that's why they pay him all the money?
Absolutely.
Eh?
Defense, who's got a click?
We always talk about big players make big plays in big games. And Jeffrey Simmons is going to have to play this game. I mean, if you look at last year, and I'm not saying it's the playoffs, but when he played Cincinnati last year in the playoffs, I mean, he totally took over the game. That's the kind of game that the Titans need from him in this game. I mean, he's got to take over the game. He's got to get sacks. He's got to bat balls down. He's got to be the best player on that defense. Why? Because you're supposed to be that big-time player.
I mean, I said this earlier.
Uh-huh.
If you want to be paid like Aaron Donald, you got to play like Aaron Donald.
Absolutely.
And this is the kind of game for him to play like Aaron Donald.
No,
if
you're absolutely
right. If he wants to get paid like Aaron Donald.
No, you're absolutely right. He must play big because this is a big moment. It's a big stage for him.
Is it wrong? You know, because once the season ends, it could end tonight. It could end next week. It could end 2 weeks from now. Probably not going to end after that, but it could. If the season ends today and all the talk this offseason is about Jeffrey Simmons' contract, if he doesn't play well or impact this game, should I hold that against him when thinking what he's worth?
No, I don't think you should. I think his body of work speaks for itself. I think a guy of his caliber, you can't minimize it to just one game. You can't isolate just one game. He's still dealing with the injury. Now, he should play better because he's had rest and he got DeNico Autry back. But let's not forget, I mean, this guy was hobbled. He's a 320-pound guy with a bad ankle. Try playing on that, you know. So, to me, you can't just isolate this game if you're in negotiation talks. Sure. You got to see the body of the work. And the body of work is he's a damn good player. But for me, my pick to click is Kevin Byard. He showed up big when nobody else wanted to play. He showed up big.
Two interceptions.
So he must show up big again because they're going to try to get the ball to Evan Engram. And if he's on Evan Engram at any time, he must make a play. And when he's not on him, he must make a play. He made two plays last week. He need to make another two plays.
And I think go ahead. I think with Byard, I mean, I love it when he blitzes and everything, but I wouldn't even blitz him. I'll just let him stay on Engram. Wherever Engram goes, if he's playing the slot, whatever he is, he needs to follow him. I know they want to blitz Lawrence so they can put pressure on him, get him off his spot, all those great things. But if you get Engram the ball in his hands, he is tough to tackle because of yards at the catch. I would just have Byard on Engram wherever he goes. Don't even blitz him.
Well, I think they can play zone too. And again, you know what that means. Short completions.
Yeah. Short completions.
For
short
headaches. Completion. And that's going to be to the tight end. So I said going into this that there are four players that are going to determine if the Titans are going to be able to upset Jacksonville. It's going to be Derrick Henry, Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin Byard, and DeNico Autry, but leaves DeNico Autry for me. And I do think DeNico Autry is the pick to click here for two reasons. Number one, I think the Titans are going to have to pressure Trevor Lawrence. They didn't pressure him at all in the first game. Autry was out. Autry is more of a pass rusher at the DT spot because he honestly plays more of a DN spot than Simmons does. He is more of a pass rusher than Jeffrey Simmons. And so Autry has got to get in the backfield. He has got to make Trevor Lawrence move off the spot and make him uncomfortable. Number two, he's got to keep Trevor Lawrence in the pocket. The Titans have been horrible this season with rush lane integrity. That's what Dak took advantage of.
Yep.
That's what Patrick Mahomes took advantage of at the end of the Kansas City game. And Trevor Lawrence made them pay for it in the first game that they played. And Autry's going to have to do his best to keep Lawrence inside the pocket. Weaver's going to have to do his part on the other side of it. And the third reason is I think the Titans are going to need a big play on defense. And I don't think the big play comes from the guy in the secondary making a huge play. Mm-hmm. I think it comes from Trevor Lawrence making a bad decision because he's pressured, or a ball getting tipped at the line of scrimmage and ending up in the hands of a linebacker or a safety or something that can give the Titans an easy touchdown. I'm going with Nico Autry as my pick.
I mean, I think that's a great pick because every time he's in a game, I mean, he just all you feel him on the field. He's one of those players that when he's on the field, you feel him. And that's the kind of what you want to do. And I think that, you know, with him being in there, he just makes everybody better. Why? Because he's going to eat up those double teams and let those guys go one-on-one.
All right, we're going to throw a bonus in here.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Special teams.
Stop it.
Special teams pick to click. You got Robert Woods right now returning punts, which as a former all-pro punt returner, it must make you sick watching the Titans return punts.
They can't return punts.
Like I said.
Yeah.
You got that Stonehouse.
That is, to me, the punt return portion of the game is the most exciting part of football, to me, because you can change the – you can tilt the scales in one play. One play. You can electrify or quiet the crowd down in one play. It's you and your 11 versus them and their 11. And if you hit that crease, boy, oh, boy, you high-stepping in the end zone like Deion Sanders. You just don't know how much that will deflate a team.
Absolutely.
Not just a crowd. A special team's return will deflate a team, and it will pick up a team as well.
Stonehouse punting the ball. He punts it about 55 yards every time he punts
it.
And then they give up about a 23-yard return, so it makes the fact that they punted at 55 yards not
matter. It's a wash.
They can't kick the ball deep at all as far as field goals are concerned. And Jacksonville's got a great returner.
Mm-hmm. Bullet.
So we all have to pray today for special teams.
Yeah, they have to do their job. Like I said earlier, those hidden yards, they can't allow to happen against them, but they got to be able to pick up those hidden yards for them, whether it be – you know, kicking a 50-yard field goal, whether it be blocking a kick, downing the ball inside the 5-yard line, getting a big return, whether it be punt return or kickoff return. Those are the yardage that we just don't count, you know, or during the week. And when you get them, boy, oh, boy, it takes a team and it uplifts them.
Are we picking somebody?
Pick somebody.
I'm going with Haskins.
Yeah, I mean,
he's actually been pretty good.
You know what I'm saying? Haskins, because you talk about kickoff return, and punt return, they kick the ball if he goes in there and make a tackle inside the 20. So even though that sounds kind of goofy, but he can keep them from having a long kickoff return or punt return. Why? Because he's making a tackle inside the 20.
You want to throw one in there?
I think it has to be Stonehenge. Stonehenge?
What?
Stonehouse.
That sounds like a Rambo movie.
What is it, Stonehouse?
Stonehenge is
this is the thing.
It's
the thing.
Famous landmark.
It's the famous landmark.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rocks. Yeah, the boulders. what is it, Stonehouse?
That's worse than me saying PT.
No, see, nobody ever talk about the kickers anyway. But no, he has to do a good job and not just punting the ball out the building. But he must get some hang time, and he must be able to pin Jacksonville inside their own 10-yard line. He
cannot get Agnew. I'm tired of watching him kick at the 50-yard line and him hit the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, he has to learn how to – if he's kicking from the 50, he has to learn how to put it inside the 10. That's what he has to do. And I think they're going to get opportunities to do that. It's whether, you know, he can execute it or not. I think if he can execute it at least two times – that works out for the Titans.
I'll go with Dylan Cole. I think he's a good tackler on special teams. Those are picks to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, the final line, and our final game day predictions for the AFC South Championship.
Go,
that is coming up next live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. It's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, the AFC South is on the line tonight. Titans and Jags. Mike Vrabel's got some big keys, and it's time for Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. We start with Mike Vrabel's first key, and that is in the first matchup, the Titans turned the ball over four times, especially Derrick Henry, two costly fumbles. Jacksonville did not turn it over. Mike Vrabel says that's got to change tonight.
this team, when they've lost a turnover, the eight times they've won the turnover battle, lost the turnover margin, and they're 2-6, not counting last Sunday. They're 1-1-6 when they lose. So obviously, you flip that around. When they've won the turnover margin, they've been able to win a lot of football games. So it starts there. And we got to take care of the football. We got to find ways to get some turnovers against them from our defense.
So Josh Dobbs, two turnovers, a costly fumble and an interception last week against the Cowboys. Derrick Henry, we know about his fumbling problems. Do you, A, think the Titans can take care of the ball, and B, do you think the Titans can turn the Jags over?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to get turnovers. I mean, definitely, because the thing about it is, when you get turnovers, it changes the game. And we saw that when it went to get the Jaguars last week, when it was the second half, it was up 14-10, and all of a sudden, you know, Derrick Henry fumbles the ball, and they score before halftime. It changes the game. So they're going to have to protect the football. And then on defense, I think I agree with Derek. Byard has to be big, get an interception, get a fumble recovery, anything like that to really change the game. Why? Because you get turnovers.
Can they – you know, not turn a football over? Absolutely they can. Will they? That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jacksonville has proven that they are a very opportunistic defense. They can come in. They do not stop trying to strip the ball just because you're in a big pile. They're trying to get the ball at all costs, because they know that if they can get a turnover, it the odds of them winning goes up. Now for the Tennessee Titans, how they get turnovers, they're just going to have to try to fool the quarterback. Each and every time, you know, early in the season, I think that's what was happening to Trevor Lawrence. He was getting fooled. He was learning defense, and they were fooling him at times. The Titans have to be able to hold their water long enough to where Trevor Lawrence can't read the defense. If he picks up on the defense quickly, then you lose. If you make him think and you're able to get into your primary defense right as the ball is being snapped, that's a win for the Tennessee Titans. So if they can fool Trevor Lawrence long enough to make him make decisions that he's not comfortable with making, then it's a win for them. But they have to do it through the secondary. They got to get pressure too, but I think that secondary has to be able to hold their water long enough to fool them.
Second key for Mike Vrabel. Titans were 3 of 3 in the red zone against Jacksonville the first time they played, and they have got to find a way to continue that today.
Well, they've averaged 28 points a game their last six games, so they're scoring a bunch of points. They've hit some X plays, but they were also, you know, doing a nice job down in the red zone. If they get the ball down there, you know, we have to force them to kick and attempt field goals. We can't turn this into, you know, let's trade touchdowns with the Jaguars. I don't think that's the recipe. And when we get down there, we have to continue to do what we've done and what we did against them last time.
What do you think about the ability in the red zone with Josh Dobbs at quarterback? Do you still feel fine about it? Or do you think it's going to be tougher given that Tannehill was 3 of 3 last time and not Dobbs?
I think it'll be a little bit tougher, but I think what Dobbs does give them is the ability to get outside the pocket and still throw the football. When Malik Willis was in a game, once he got outside the pocket, he didn't really look to throw the football. But if you put Joshua Dobbs in that situation, he was in that situation last week versus Dallas, he's always looking to extend the play to throw the football. He's not necessarily looking to run. So in that situation, when they're inside the red zone, you know, will they be as efficient as they were with Ryan Tannehill? I don't know. But do they still have the ability to go out and score in the red zone with Joshua Dobbs? Yes, they do, because his ability to get outside the pocket and not only pass when he's outside, but run as well.
Yeah, they're going to have to score touchdowns, because if you look at the Jaguars, they're averaging 31 points a game. So you can't just get field goals and think you can stay in the game while Jacksonville's scoring touchdowns. So they're definitely going to have to score some points and stop them in the red zone to be successful.
Third and final key for Mike Vrabel, Jamal Agnew, the returner for the Jacksonville Jags, scares the daylights out of him. Mike Vrabel says they've got to be great in kick coverage.
You know, man, we feel like this is going to be something where he's got 6 career return touchdowns, and I don't care what the numbers say. This is a talented player. He's a fast player. He's got great vision, great strength. We're going to have to be great. We're going to have to go down there. But also, when you do that, you can change some momentum. You can bring some excitement. You can start to set the table for the defense if you go down there with some speed and some violence to try to win the hidden yardage.
Reminds me of what you just said about how the kick return game can completely inflate or deflate a team.
Absolutely, it can. I'm sure Jacksonville in 1999 was saying, we cannot let their special teams beat us. We cannot let their special teams beat us. And then what happened? One guy misses a tackle, and off we go. That's all it takes is one guy. He's right. They have to be.
Off we go?
Off we go. Like, I went.
Oh, okay.
I went.
All right.
At that time.
And
I
don't forget Reggie Barlow fumbled inside
exactly.
the 20-yard line, too.
Absolutely. But those are the things that he's talking about. Not also being great, you got to be disciplined too. Mm-hmm. Because, again, if you come down, if you're running down the field and you're busting your tail down the field, but don't stay in your lane or don't break down into proper time, that's that one opportunity that Agnew needs to crease a hole and go. So not only do you got to be great, you got to be disciplined.
But that goes with Stonehire, right?
Stonehour.
But with him, he can't kick the ball high and long because if he does that, then all of a sudden, you know, Agnew's going to catch the ball. Now he can see where he can hit those lanes. So I think that with Stone, you know, maybe
Stonehouse,
you kick it. You kick it to where it's directional, to where it goes out of bounds, and don't allow him to evenly return the ball. Don't get the ball in his hands. But if you kick it far, 50 and 60 yards, he catches it. He sets up the return. That's when he can make those explosive plays.
Okay. The final line is presented by Superbook Sports, voted the number one sportsbook app in Vegas. Download their app today. The Titans are 6-point underdogs tonight against Jacksonville. The AFC South champion, our final predictions. Who wins tonight and why? Chris Sanders, we start with.
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans 20-19. And the reason why I say that
is a total sweat out.
Yes. The reason I'm going to say that is because I think that the Titans are healthier. I think they're getting healthy on the defensive line. And I think the pressure is a little bit on the Titans, but I think the pressure is more on the Jacksonville Jaguars is because the Titans have been the bully of this AFC South.
For me, I'm going 24-17 Jag.
Okay.
I think the Jags this year, they have the Titans number for whatever reason. I think the Titans are too beat up. Yes, they're getting guys back, but that doesn't mean that they're healthy. I think this Jags team is riding on a high right now. I think they believe in what their coach is preaching. They trust him. They trust the quarterback. And the quarterback trusts the defense. This team is primed for a game like this, I believe. I don't think the pressure's on Jacksonville whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans are the ones that went from 7-3 to 7-8 right now in fighting and clawing to get in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Jaguars just been steady doing their job, winning football games. So to me, there's always going to be pressure in the game no matter what. Right. But I think the ultimate pressure is on the Tennessee Titans because this is the team that 7 weeks ago, there was no way, and I mean no way, anyone thought they could lose this division. Mm. And look at them now.
Titans. I think Mike Vrabel finds a way. I'm going to go with the Titans. I think the defense wins the game for the Titans today. And I think it's going to be DeNico Autry. I'll go Titans 26-13. I think you will be shocked at how well the Titans defense plays. I think they will set up short fields for Josh Dobbs. And I think Derrick Henry will run the ball well. I'll take the Titans. Two or three of us say the Titans continue. If that's the case, I would assume we'll see you next week.
Hey, see you next week, buddy.
If not, been a great season with you guys, but we're not going to say T's and P's yet because we got a big one today. Live from Twin Peaks here, it's been the pregame show. 102.5, 106.3 The
Good
Game.
Stuff.